Our first lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 11 through 21, and it can be found on page 94 in the New Testament. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of the Lord.
A couple weeks ago, I talked to you about if we confess our sins, then God will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once again today, we have an if-then construction. If God so loved us, then that should result in different things in our lives. If God so loved is where we're aiming at. And we know that God loved. We heard Lily read the scripture so well, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And it was wonderful. You did a great job. Thank you so much. And I had great people helping me. Did you notice today? That was just children's message, the morning prayer. It's great to have other people come alongside me. And I appreciate that a lot. Well, I was telling you about love divine, all loves excelling, being part of the wedding. And one of the wedding presents we got from one of our financially struggling college student friends was a wall hanging. It was a piece of burlap is what it was. It started out with a piece of burlap. It had a little seam in the top, and there was a stick in it, and you could hang it on the wall with a piece of string. And so we had this burlap wall hanging. But then this person added to it, the next slide, a cross with wedding rings interwoven. And then this person added, the next slide, "We love because he first loved us," which is in 1 John chapter 4, 19. This is a banner that hung in our home for years. But every time we moved, we would roll it up and the cross got crinkly. And the wedding rings got crinkly, and it was starting to look pretty shabby after a number of years. Now, for those of you who've never moved, you don't know what I'm talking about. But for people so that hung in our home for years, and it reminded us, not only as a couple, but also when the children came along, that the source of love is God. If I could give you just the theme, if you walk away with just nothing else, if you don't remember anything else in this whole service, love starts with God. Ready? Love starts with God. Your turn. Love starts with God. Your turn. Love starts with God. Your turn. Love starts with God. People in the back, love starts with God. Very good. But sometimes it's a challenge to get it started with each other, isn't it? Well, for example, there's these little people called babies who come along in life. Could you show us that slide? Oh, there it is. Okay. My slide is blank up here, and so I'm looking in the going, there's nothing. Okay. Now, has it ever happened to you that there's some small infant-type child who has been sitting in front of you in church, and they start making fish faces? Or they just look so blessedly cute? Or they are winking at you and flirting with you and trying to learn how to wink? The Lord Jesus himself could be standing here, but I will tell you that when babies start doing that, it doesn't matter who you are, adults, no matter how dignified and refined we truly are, will become a group of face-making fools in about a minute. Because all these people, little fish face baby up there, there's an adult there grabbing her earlobes and sticking out her tongue. I'm doing this especially for our friends who are joining us on Podbean who don't see the slides. You can also see there's another person who's making all sorts of goofy faces at the second baby. And then you have the guy who's winking but is already finding rejection. Look at that. Yeah. But people are trying to, and why do people do that? Well, they want to engage with this child. They want this baby, this infant to know that I'm going to take some time with you. I want to engage with you. I want to get to know you. I don't make you laugh. I want you to know that even though the minister is preaching, there's nothing more important than you right now. That your cuteness is something I'm going to get hold of. And I'm going to just, doesn't matter what he's saying up there. And I'm not saying don't bring babies to church. I'm not saying that. I just want you to know I understand it when it happens. Because in the course of my career, I've seen it happen a number of times. And it's different when you're standing up here and you see people making faces at little kids. But there's this sense where we're starting to develop something. And when we baptize a child, we all take vows that we're going to be right there with the parents. And we're going to say, we're going to love you and care about you. And if mom and dad can't show you how to live the Christian life, then we will show you how to live the Christian life. And we will share with you joy and smiles and delight. Excuse me. But sometimes, it's not just babies. It's young people. People who are in junior high, high school, just really don't know exactly. It's one thing to be loved by your family. It's almost like they have to. But you know, to find someone who you've never known before, a complete stranger who starts to look at you and go, I'd like to get to know you more. Show them that slide, will you? Oh, this is it. Now, for those of you who don't know what that slide is, that is a record. It worked on a turntable and went round and round. This is called a 45 because it had 45 revolutions per minute. And people my age used to get 45s and they would go to each other's houses and they would have record parties. A few of you are raising your hand. Yeah, we had record parties. And we would play our records and we would dance to them. And this is a copy of the Partridge Family from the 70s. You can look that up on YouTube if you like. I think I love you. I don't know. Do you remember part of the lyric? I woke up this morning with a feeling I didn't know how to deal with. And so I just decided to myself, I'd hide it to myself and would not talk about it. But then you walked into the room. I think I love you. I think I love you. There is that sense where at different ages and stages of our lives, we want to know that we're loved. There's somebody who's winking at me or smiling at me or making goofy faces at me. There's somebody who was one time a complete and total stranger to me. I never knew them before. And now they have, something's happened. And I can't get them out of my mind. There was a time prior to July of 1979, I didn't even know that my wife existed on the planet. But But then something happened. I met her, and I had a hard time remembering her name. Now, I work really hard at remembering names. You all know that. But I was dating a lot of different people in college. And finally, I said to one of my friends, I said, "Hey, Liz, tell me, what is that girl's name?" She goes, "Okay, Carl, work with me. This is really hard, but you can do this. I got confidence in you." I said, "Okay, Liz, I'm ready. Debbie Smith. Can you handle that, pal? Debbie Smith. That's the... There are times where people who don't know us at all suddenly become so very important in our lives. Someone who was a complete and total stranger. They didn't even know they existed on the planet. And now they've captured our hearts and you've captured theirs. And there's something that the idea of them not being in your life is just odd and strange. But it was God who first started this whole idea of love, wasn't it? Let's read the passage today. This is from 1 John chapter 4. Verses 11 through 21. It's in your Bible. "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent His Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed that love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from Him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are three words that jumped out of that passage for me. I want to cover them with you, and this is going to come from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Let's go with the first one. Abide. What I did with the passage, and if you want to do this sometime, just feel free. Take a copy of it, and around the word abide, I put a triangle. Every time the word abide or abides or some form of the word abide appeared, I put a triangle around it. Every time the word love appeared, I put a circle around it. Every time I saw the word perfected or perfect, I put a square around it. And over, it just jumps out at you on the page. So this afternoon, when it starts to rain, and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do to spend some time, feel free to draw some circles and squares and triangles around the Scripture today. The first word that I want to talk about is abide. This is all defined by Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, going from the original Greek. To abide. To sojourn. Not to depart. To be present. Now, the painting that is there is a Van Gogh. It's called The Siesta. And these people who have been working out in the fields decide to lay down together and take a siesta. You may remember from the Christmas story. There were shepherds out in the fields abiding, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were there. And over you heard in the Scripture that God abides with us and we abide with God. That sense of, we're in this together, Lord. Whatever it is in this life that happens, whether it's really good and wonderful and positive and exciting, or whether it's the depths of despair. We're in this together, and I'm going to abide with you, and you're going to abide with me, and I know that, and you know that, and we're going to go on together. Part of God's love for us, and love starts with God, is that He's going to stick with us. I will never fail you, I'll never forsake you, says the Lord. Now, there are times where we can say, I don't want to be bothered, but God's love for us is still there. Our fellowship with God can be damaged. Our relationship with God is permanent. Let's go to the next one. Love. Ah. To welcome, to entertain. Oh, don't we do that? We talked about that with the babies, didn't we? What are you doing when you've got a baby looking at you and winking at you? You're trying to entertain that child. You're trying to show your fondness for that child, to be dearly fond of, to dearly love, to be content with a thing. And that God is dearly fond of you. You ever think of that? That God is dearly fond of you? That God really likes you and loves you? And how we express that back to God. If God loves us, then our response, we'll get there. We'll get there. Next. Perfect. Oh, this is a word that we need to look at. Because we have our idea of what perfect is. No mistakes. Didn't even have to use the eraser on the test. I can do my checkbook with ink. Because it's perfect. Some of you don't know what to do. Okay, never mind. Really means about complete. Completion. Are we complete as a person who loves God? That was real soon, in 17 days, according to Laura and Joe, school's going to be over. How many more days do you guys have? 20 days over here. So we're less than 30 days before school's out. And the students are going to complete first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade, whatever grade they're finishing. And they're going to be perfect or perfected in fifth grade knowledge. Or they're going to be perfected in fourth grade knowledge. They're going to complete that grade. Okay? So there's a sense where we as Christians, as we love God and God loves us, it's complete. There's nothing more that God can do to love you. It's complete. So what does it mean? What does it mean if God so loved us, what are we supposed to do? Let's go to the next slide. This is the so what. This is a group of pictures on a slide for our friends on Podbean. And these folks just look different. Some of them look odd. Some of you may even say weird. For example, the person, the lady in the upper left-hand picture, has pink hair on one side of her head and yellow, green, blue, and some other color on the other side of her head. But her one cheek is opposite of the purple, the pink hair. It's kind of a purple color, isn't it? She kind of coordinates with the other side of her hair. Huh. Don't see anybody in the sanctuary with two different colored hair like that today. Let's take a look at the next person. This is a goth person, somebody who is in total black, has a black umbrella, and is a pale skin. Probably has white makeup on. There's a street person over there. In the other corner, there's a guy who has piercings in his nose, in his lip, tattoos on his face, and he has hoops in his ears that expand the earlobe. In the middle picture on the bottom, those people have taken their tongues and cut them so that they can have forked tongues or split tongues. And then the last group is a group of hippies wearing bandanas and sunglasses and just hanging out together and being cool. And I show you all that for a reason. You know what they have in common with us? God loves them. Just like He loves all of us. And so, if there would be a day when some multi-haired woman comes into the church, or some person who's dressed in black and with a white face comes into the church, or somebody who's homeless comes wandering into the church, or any of these other things that you see, somebody who comes in and their tongue is forked, God loves them. And so since God loves us, we're supposed to love them too. And all of these people, if you think about it, are saying the same thing. Look at me. Notice me. I'm doing these different things for you to look at me. Do I have your attention? What do I have to do to be noticed by you? Because there are some people who don't think anybody notices them. Maybe it's an artistic thing. Maybe it's about body art. But when we do this kind of stuff, they get our attention because they are so uniquely different. And yet God says to you and to me, you love them. Even if you don't agree with their styles. Even if you don't want to get a tattoo. Even if you don't want to split your tongue. You don't have to do all that. But God calls you and me to love people who may be different. Love one another. Well, there's something we can do. Next picture. Because there is going to be a day of judgment. It's a bench trial. There's not a jury of your peers. And we shouldn't be afraid of judgment. Because we've been forgiven. And when we confess our sins, He forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's like the slate has been wiped clean. Let me look at what your life is like. Well, it looks pretty empty to me. Did you confess? Don't you remember the time that I did this, Lord? I've got no record of it. Cast it in the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. You don't have to be scared of judgment. What did you do with your life? How did it make a difference? The evaluation of life, that's something we don't have to be afraid of. Because perfect love, complete love of God, casts out our fears. That's what the book says. Let's go on. Because we should become copies of Christ. Steve said something about it in the prayer. I didn't catch it quite, but I heard that sense of becoming more like Christ. Copies of Christ. That your life and my life, we should try to become more like Jesus. Now, there's this great episode in Young Sheldon where Sheldon calls a rabbi and says, all the great scientists of the world were Jewish. I'm thinking about becoming Jewish. How do your parents feel about that? They're Baptists. They don't think much about it. Why do you want to become Jewish? Because all the great scientists were Jewish. And the rabbi wisely says to Sheldon, God will never ask you, why weren't you Einstein? But He might ask you, why weren't you Sheldon? Why weren't you Sheldon? Why weren't you you in your life? But Jesus, but we're called to be copies of Jesus. How can we, as individuals who have our own name and our own identity, become more and more like Jesus Christ? That's the challenge. Next. And with that, there's no fear, no insecurity. It's like our lives could be different because we follow Jesus. Give me another one. Start doing it. Start living it out. That's what it's about. To start doing that. again. Okay? One more. Why can't we all just get along? Here we have, for our friends on Podbeam, a scene of the earth rising from space. We all live on the same small planet, breathing the same air, drinking the same water, living our lives from the time we're born to the time we die here. In your life, have you ever had a time when something was worrying or troubling you? There was something that was so heavy and so awesome handling in your life that the petty things of life just seem, what are you people talking about? How is that important compared to all the things that I've got going on in my mind, in my heart, in my life, in my family, in my relationships, in my finances? How can all you think about all that? Don't you understand? And there's this great quote, can we get along? Why can't we just get along? Can we hear each other out? Can we show the love of God to each other? Because we are followers of Jesus. And it's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge for all of us. Because we're going to sing a song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That there is this sense of assurance that once we say, Jesus, I want to follow you, that we can be assured. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I am. There can be an assurance that I am loved. My sins can be forgiven. You don't have to lay at night and toss and turn and wonder, am I or am I not? So, the challenge is to live like Christ. To be a copy of Christ. Every day. May God help us as we follow His example.